Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be satisfactory unto you today. Amen. Last week, I read a passage of Scripture. I read John 1, verses 1 through 14, which is actually a creation story, but also a story about the birth of Christ. It is not a mistake of the writer that he confused creation with the entrance upon the world of Jesus. You see, it is explained in the passage that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was God, and all things came into the being through God as the Word. And the Word was life, and life was the light of all the people collectively. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among the people. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world didn't recognize him. He came cloaked as one of the people, but the people did not all accept him. To those who did accept him and believed in his story, he gave the power of the Spirit, and they became children of God. What a transforming moment for mankind. And they were born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit of God. And like God, their Creator, through the Word, they became immortal. That's you and I. From this moment on, mankind was capable of knowing his true home in the kingdom of God, if they were shown the light and heard the story and accepted the truth and came into the light by believing in the Christ and accepting to follow him. Quite a story. Quite a legacy. It makes us brethren with Christ and sons and daughters of the light. We are no longer of this world. We are only in this world. We're from somewhere else. Eventually, we'll get back home. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the light of the world." Light in the Bible can be a metaphor for life, happiness, righteousness, or understanding. Walking in the light means growing in holiness and maturing in the faith as we follow Jesus. When we walk in the light, we cannot walk in darkness. If you've ever noticed, if you go into a pitch black area and strike just the simplest of match, that little flame completely transforms that space, and everywhere that that flame can reach is now illuminated and is visible. The smallest light shining in the darkness destroys the darkness. In the teachings of the Gospel of John, walking in the darkness does not mean committing acts of sin, but rather choosing to reject God's message of eternal life through belief in and by following in the footsteps of Christ, to become Christ ones. In the Gospel of John, light is never defined as righteous. Light is defined as life. As seen in John 1, verse 4, the Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to the people. Again, this life was the gift that Jesus came to bring from God to a dying world. The world was dying because they were living in the darkness of not knowing about the light. Those who heard and believed and had faith in Jesus' teachings would inherit the light, which was the light, and would have eternal life. In the Gospel of John, darkness is present in the absence of light. And I find it coincidental that when people are talking about the light spectrum, when they start with black, black is known as the absence of light. And then you have the rest of the spectrum. And then you come to white, which is the inclusion of all light. Because light in the different colors is a wave that is transmitted at different frequencies. White light, or the light that we see as white in reflection, is the presence of all colors. The absence, go back. In the Gospel of John, darkness is present in the absence of light, the absence of eternal life, and darkness was referring to death spiritually. Those who walk in darkness do not have eternal life because they are unknown to God. Unknown to God because they refuse to accept God's gift. The only way to receive life is to be known to be of the light through God and His promises. In our scripture this morning, we heard Jesus tell everyone, "You are the light of the world." The occasion served in a way for Jesus to reveal early in His ministry how people could become Christ ones by becoming the light of the world. In this life, we have two choices. We can either be part of the darkness and be part of this world, or we can shine as lights and be different. People are desperately searching for hope, a new direction, for a beacon of light. In fact, odd as it may seem, Donald Trump and politicians like him get elected because they promise to sweep away the corrupt culture that people identify and feel powerless to correct. Often, however, they find out that the trust that they put in these individuals was misplaced. And they get a worse situation than they had before. That was the case in Jesus' world as well. Jesus called people to follow Him and backed up His calls with works of miracles that all could see. Today, we have been called as Christians not just to attend church once a week, but to do work that becomes a light to those around us. To those served, these appear as miracles, lifting them out of the darkness and giving them hope. It is easy to conform to this world, to just go with the flow and to live a life with little resistance and stay within our comfort zones. But we are Christ ones. We are called to be different. We are called to follow Jesus' example and be the light. Jesus encouraged us by stating, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This calls us to literally be like God in our thinking words and actions. As John the Baptist said, "Christ must increase, and I must decrease." The closer we get to the source of light, the brighter our light becomes. But the opposite is also true. The more we stay away from God or Christ, then our light gets dimmer and we lose the light given to us entirely. Like a city on a hill, when we shine as lights, people will take notice. They will notice. They will see that we are different. They will see that we are not like other people. They will truly start to see who we claim to be, Christ ones. We need to shine our light in such a way that people see God and Christ in us. That's our ultimate goal as we shine our lights. Little by little, you become a light that imparts blessings, happiness, good tidings, and hope to all those that you touch. People will say, "I like that person. He's hospitable. He's helpful, kind, giving, and loving." The purpose of our light is to expose the darkness. By seeing our example, people will know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, and what is acceptable in God's eyes. If we are not careful, our light can be offensive to others, as I explained to the children today. It's not about shining as lights. It's about how we shine as lights. For example, a flashlight, as I use, can shine a light and illuminate the darkness, but if it's pointed directly at your face, it can be irritating. Likewise, if we push our beliefs and religion into someone's face, we can turn them off too. Better that we shine our light in truth and love and good works. And eventually people will notice and ask who you are and what church do you attend and what do you believe. That's when you invite a conversation to take the opportunity to witness to Christ. That doesn't mean telling everyone how good or righteous we are. It means that we explain why we do our good works. We must perform good works to show our faith in God. For many years in my life, in different circumstances, I have had the opportunity to minister and serve at-risk young people and early teens. I found meeting them where they were and accepting them in that moment was the best beginning. And then just living the light, showing them empathy, respect, and love, eventually opened the door for more meaningful discussion. I never pressured. I never should. I'm happy to say that I still keep tabs on many of them, and they have turned out to be amazing people. Some are successful mothers and fathers. Most are heavily involved in their communities in good works and service. I still send out waves of love to all of them and bless their journey in my prayers. And I am rewarded in return with their cheerful messages, keeping me informed of their life's path. I am known collectively as Uncle Eric or just Dad. But I sense each note is penned with love and respect. And they give me great joy. Our actions should reflect what we know and believe about our God and as Christians. That knowledge must translate into our daily living. Gandhi said it best when he said, "We must be the change we wish to see." All that we believe will add up to nothing if it is not accompanied with good works. Our light and good works should not be focused on ourselves, but rather should point back to God. I sometimes think that I am preaching to the wrong part of our congregation, which is St. Paul's. We are known, and deservedly so, by this community as a loving, generous, and serving church. We are living in the light. However, every Sunday, the majority of the people in the chairs are the worker bees who are out every function and event, sit on almost every board and committee, and contribute generously to the financial needs of operating our church. The expression is preaching to the choir. And in our case, that's mostly true. Because our choir, most Sundays, makes up half or better of those in attendance. There is a large portion of people who are on our rolls as members who are very seldom in church, do not participate in our events and functions, and do not sit on any committees or boards. These are the individuals I was alluding to earlier when I said that the more we stay away from God or Christ, then our light gets dimmer and we lose the light God gave us. And these are the individuals who are at risk of losing their place in the kingdom of heaven. For they are acting as though they have rejected God. Now, in fairness, I know that we have a large number of elderly, frail, and shut-in members who cannot come out. They are not part of the group I am referring to. Many of the elderly were very active in this church in the past and still do what they can. They have not lost their desire or light to shine forth, and they do it as best they can. But we have a task in this church. We have a task to grow. We can try to grow it by introducing strangers into our midst, and that is very noble and righteous, and we should be doing it. However, perhaps an easier role would be to rekindle the flame of light in some of those in our roles who have become inactive. How can we most effectively achieve this? Is there an opportunity for service to our Lord here that someone who is looking for an avenue for good works can take on? Maybe some of these individuals became disconnected during a period of calamity and hardship, and they have not found their way back yet. Can someone be the bridge that brings them home? This would be truly living in the light.